What is dedication?
The thing that drives me every day as a dad is Dariano. We call him Day-Day for short. Every day he's hungry for something, whether it's attention, affection, knowledge. And there's this huge responsibility in making sure that when he's no longer under my wing, that he's a good person. I want him to be able to sit back one day and go, we worked together, we did a good job.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
Kempire is brought to you by
Philly. The Kempire After Dark live experience is coming to you first on July 10th. Yeah, that's the same day that Real Housewives of Orange County is premiering, but our show will be better. I guarantee it. It's a night of hot topics, comedy, and so much more with special guest Alexander Rogers. We spilling tea as well. And don't forget, if you are in Atlanta, I'll be there on August 5th. Then we'll be in D.C. on August 22nd. Then back here in New York City on September 12th. All shows have meet and greets available, so get those if you don't already, if you want a picture with me or Kiki with me. And don't forget, the New York City show has a live stream option exclusively. And what I say in Washington, D.C., Philly, or Atlanta will not be the same thing that I mentioned in New York City. And don't forget, you have access to that live stream link for at least a week. Be sure to check out the description for more details on how you can be a part of the Kempire After Dark, The Villain Era live summer tour.
You're listening to Kempire here on the Kempire Radio Network.
It's day 27. Yes, it's officially day 27 of the Sean Diddy Combs trial, and we have to talk about the judge reprimanding both the prosecution and the defense for sealed information making it into an article. No one seems to know what article the judge is talking about, and no one wants to take the blame. We also have to unpack my recent conversation with Kirsten Brown, a Los Angeles prosecutor. If you haven't seen it, you really should go and watch it. And we have to talk about day 27. Brendan Paul, Diddy's alleged drug mule, testified. And he's saying, I am no drug mule. This is day 27 of our exclusive coverage of the Diddy trial. Welcome back to the Kempire Channel, your number one source for pop culture news and music, entertainment, reality TV, and so much more. As always, be sure to like this video, subscribe to the channel, and hit that notification bell so you never miss out on breaking news when we go live or when we upload. So it looks as if the case is about to wrap, probably earlier than expected, because based off of what happened today, they ended early today because one of the jurors' son graduated, I don't know, from college or high school, I don't know. Congratulations, regardless. As you know, this past week, there have been a couple of hiccups when it comes to the jurors. They got rid of juror number 6. Juror, I don't know which particular juror is in question. We also saw over the weekend, the defense came up with a 14-page letter in order to explain why they feel as if we need to keep juror number 6, the only other black male that's on this jury panel. They made a lot of valid points, and we unpacked that with Kirsten Brown as well as to what happened and what that could mean for the future. Here's the thing I want to talk about before we get into day 27 of this trial. I want to talk about why it's important that we are mindful of the information that we're getting from this, especially if you're following this case. And a lot of us are laymen following this case. And I say laymen because none of us, well, some of us, are not attorneys, or specifically not trial attorneys, or have not tried a case like this before. And this is why I felt there's no way that we could cover this Diddy trial and not have legal experts here on the channel to talk about it. Kirsten was on here a couple of weeks ago. If you missed that one, that's important to watch too, because we didn't cover everything that we covered in the first video, in this video, because we're really taking it piece by piece. So if you really want a legal perspective, and not all legal perspectives are going to be the same, because everyone's going to look at it a little bit differently, very much like all of us that are not legal experts or lawyers are going to look at the information a little bit differently. But something that Kirsten said during our conversation that stood out to me was that there are certain little things that might be said in court. Remember, we're giving you unofficial transcripts in regards to summaries and what Inner City Press is reporting. There are certain little legal terms that might be left out that might be a ding, ding, ding to an attorney or to a judge. That is what stood out to me. But I say be mindful of where you're getting your information. Again, that's not saying only get your information here. No, that's not what I'm saying. Because what we're saying here is one perspective and one type of summary. And there are people that are inside the courtroom that are relaying, this is what I heard, this is what was said, this was a demeanor. All of that is fantastic. But I also know that even there are some people that are spreading misinformation or speculation, or and that has been going on for a long time when it comes to this Diddy of it all. If anything, this trial has either confirmed speculation and conspiracy theories or debunked them. But if we're talking about this, if you're trying to get well thought out, well intentioned, more importantly, information, I'm telling you, this is important that you're mindful of where you get your information from. And that's why I'm so glad that we were able to connect with Kirsten, because I felt like, because again, before when she reached out to me, she just reached out off the strength of, I love what you're doing, and I'm an LA prosecutor. So that's what stood out. She wasn't trying to come here on the channel. That was not her intention. I asked her to come on the channel, but of course, I had to do my due diligence. I was like, okay, Kirsten, like, so who are you? I know you said you're a lawyer, but tell me a little bit more about yourself, because I also have to be mindful of who I bring on my platform and share information with you guys. From the moment that we had our conversation, that first conversation, I was like, oh, you have to come back. And I even told her this last time around, you have to come back when we have some other legal cases, because I love attorneys. We've had Stephanie on here before. We've had Emily D. Baker on here. I love speaking to attorneys. I come from the law world. I worked in human resources and temp attorney doc reviews and things like that. So I've met literally, and I don't know the official number, but remember, I used to manage and head the orientations for hundreds and hundreds, thousands of attorneys, to the point where I was like, if you're an attorney in New York City and I've never met you, and mind you, we've had attorneys that have come into New York City for the different doc reviews. And I said to myself, if I've never met you, I don't understand how I would meet new attorneys. Even to the day that I quit, I would meet new attorneys. There's so many attorneys here in New York City, here in the United States. And I understand, and this is why I say, not all attorneys are going to have the same opinion. Not all attorneys are made the same either. And you probably have seen that in regards to the different attorneys that have been weighing in on this case on multiple platforms. Not all attorneys agree in regards to how this case is going. But also, you have to keep in mind, pay attention. Are these attorneys trial attorneys? Because there are attorneys that have never seen the inside of a courtroom and have actually tried a case. So that's important to know. And a question to ask, like, has this attorney, have they been a former prosecutor? Have they actually been a defense attorney where they've actually, and what was their record? That's another important thing. Did they win? Win a case, Phaedra. I say all that to say, because now we're getting to the end, and literally my conversation with Kirsten, again, I feel smarter from that conversation. And based off of everyone's reaction, I know a lot of you feel more well-informed based off our conversation. I'm saying all this. If you missed it, I will highlight it in the description. I'll highlight both the conversations, because honestly, I need to go back and re-listen or re-watch our conversation just to remind me. And I did bring up, because she said that she felt like that Cassie might not be the star witness. She said in our second conversation, well, maybe I was wrong, which is fine. We don't know. None of us know who might be the witnesses here. And we all said, I need to see what Brendan Paul is going to say. He was a former personal assistant for Diddy. The media had called him a drug mule. I was like, okay, if he's going to be the last witness or one of the last witnesses, because as you know, they're going to have some other smaller witnesses, smaller, but no Christina Curram, no D-Rock. These people have been mentioned before. I also mentioned to you that Christina Curram was referred to as an unindicted co-conspirator. Her name has come up in multiple times in this case. But it also makes me wonder, because she's also been named in some of these civil lawsuits. I wonder where her civil liability will be. That might also be determined. We talked about this with Kirsten as well. Might be determined on whether or not he's convicted of these charges. And now that we're getting closer, literally, we are getting closer. The defense has told the judge today that looks like we might not need that much time. We might be done at the top of next week, which for me, I'm happy about it, because covering this case every single day, I appreciate all the love that you guys give me to do it. And shout out to all of the journalists, the content creators, the bloggers, the spectators that have been going to the court every single day and spending your lives there. God bless you. But even me covering it, and when I cover it, I've told you guys this before, I'm literally throughout the day looking at different reports, summaries, transcripts. I'm just so that when I do give you the summary, or if we're reading Inner City Press, I have some context to add, or I'll have these side conversations with people like Kirsten Brown as well. This case is going to be interesting, and I have some things up my sleeve in regards to other experts that I want to weigh in. And now that we're getting towards the end, stay tuned. It might not be your cup of tea. However, I want to give a holistic experience when we talk about what we're talking about, because one of the reasons I've told you that I have not gone to the courtroom, or one of the reasons why I do some protective things when it comes to my energy around this story, is because I've said to you, I feel like Diddy has a very dark energy. And I know some of you may not believe in that, but energy is scientific. It's not, you know, woo. Energy is real. Energy is in everything. I also feel as I've gotten older, I'm a lot more sensitive to people's energies, to sounds. I always tell you that I'm very sensitive to certain voices. And I know a lot of you think I'm being facetious or joking about that, but no, I really am very sensitive. And I feel like I've gotten a lot more sensitive as I've gotten older. Some might say as I've gotten more woke. As I've gotten more woke, maybe. Look, maybe. I don't know. Here it is. Let's get into today's summary. Let me pull up Inner City Press as well, because Brennan Paul's testimony wasn't that long. He did seek immunity and was granted immunity, which means that he was able to testify to doing illegal activity. However, he cannot perjure himself, meaning he cannot lie on the stand. I have to say, speaking with Kirsten, covering this case, and mind you, I worked in the law field for years. But again, I worked from a different perspective. I wasn't working in the legal side of this. I wasn't going to trial. But now, kind of, if I was covering this while I was still working at the law firm, I would probably pivot and be like, can I start going and working in a different sector? But not, no. If anything, I hope this inspires other people to do it, though. Because we do need good lawyers. We do need, like Kirsten, she's a good lawyer. And as I said before, not all lawyers are made the same. I've met a lot of good lawyers, but I've also met, oh, so this is why you're doing doc review. No shame in doing doc review, but there are certain people that have done doc review, meaning you're temping as an attorney. You have your JD, but you're temping as an attorney. There are certain people, this is a small percentage, because I know some of you that have worked with me over the years, you're like, I know, Kempire, I'm not talking about you. But there is a small percentage that are like, woo-woo. Okay, I see. Some people, they just need to be in front of a computer doing doc review, and that is it. But that's in every field. Not judging, just saying what it is. All right, that was a lot for us to say before getting into this. So let's get into this. And don't forget, you can hear our updates. And sometimes I add additional context to the Diddy trial updates on the Kempire podcast. If you're not subscribed, be sure to subscribe to that. We also are still trying to get to our $3,000 goal. It's almost the end of the month. We only have 9 days left till the end of the month. Happy Pride. We're still raising money for the center. As you can see from this administration, we can spend billions of dollars on other things, but we're taking away from organizations like the center that provides well-needed services to the community. And I will say to the LGBT community, but they really don't. If you went there, if you weren't LGBT and you needed services, they would provide services for you. They would not turn you away. So let's keep their doors open for the future. And a lot of people that go to the center, yes, there are older people that go to the center, but there are a lot of young people that go there because they don't feel safe in their homes, their runaways, whatever it may be. So if you can, help us reach, my actual goal is 5,000, okay? But help us reach our goal, all right? Thank you in advance for those that have already donated. We appreciate you, okay? And if you're watching this, donate, okay? Donate. Look, depending on where it might be on your screen. And if you're listening to this on the podcast, go on over to our YouTube channel. 100% of your donation goes to the organization. Okay. All right. Let's move on from there. Let's get to, I'm going to start with the summary. And then I'm going to run. Look, I'm going to run. Not literally. I'm going to see what Inner City Press. And shout out to Inner City Press. They've done a stellar job in covering this story and being there every single day and handling the, despite all hiccups and things that were happening. So juror number six was gone. Just an update for those. I know it's been a couple of days. Happy belated Juneteenth. Juror number six is gone. There was another juror in question. I don't know what the resolution may have been in regards to that, but stay tuned. We shall see. So the NBC News says this. They said graduation ceremony leads to a short day today. We already kind of knew this ahead of time. A juror had long asked Judge Aaron Subramanian to have this afternoon off to attend his son's graduation. The judge has asked jurors to return to the courthouse by 8:30 a.m. today, which they did, for an abbreviated day of testimony from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Guys, how do you feel about the judge in this case? I feel okay with him. But again, this is a layman. An attorney might say, like, I don't like some of his takes on or decisions when it comes to this. But as a layman, I feel like he's been fair. And I can't even say I'm necessarily just a layman because I've spoken to so many attorneys in regards to this case. And we had in-depth conversations like we did with Kirsten. So I feel like I'm a little bit more than a layman. Literally, Kirsten says I could be Kim Pryor Esquire. She's being facetious, but I don't think so. Right? So former Syracuse University basketball player Brendan Paul. Oh, yeah, he was a basketball player because I saw footage of him going into the court. And I was like, he's tall. But Diddy is also not a shorty, at least not in height. Oh, Tootsie Roll. Tootsie Roll. Sorry, we have to sometimes make light here. So Brendan Paul will take the stand today as the prosecution wraps up its case. Paul is expected to testify about drugs he allegedly provided to his former boss. And again, if you've been following our updates and the testimony, there have been multiple assistants dating 20 plus years, 30 years back, where they are talking about Diddy's drug use. I can only imagine what his mentality must be. And again, it doesn't say he can't get drugs in the detention center. I'm sure he can. But I wonder if he received any treatments for, because I know he had to be going through withdrawals. Because remember, I told you, I have a source that knows somebody in the detention center. When he first got there, I heard he didn't look good. I heard that he was going through it. And then you may have seen other reports where people were saying, oh, he was going through withdrawals and things like that. I have a source that confirmed, like, yeah, he was not good. But this has to be the longest period of time that he has been sober. And again, I can't promise you that he has been sober. I watched Orange is the New Black. I'm just saying. I watched Oz. Oz was a good show, right? Orange is the New Black was a good show. We need a new prison show. You know the one, okay, this is a sidebar, but this is why y'all are here. You're not here for the strict news. Well, maybe some of you are, but it's fine. There's a show, it's based in Australia. I can't think of the name, but it's on Netflix. You can Google Schmoogle it. And it's like Orange is the New Black. It's a women's prison. It's Australian, and it's so good. But I think the season's completely over. But I could rewatch it. That's how good it was. It was, it was better than Orange is the New Black. But I loved Orange is the New Black. All right, so Brendan Paul will take the stand today as the prosecution wraps up its case. Paul is expected to testify about the drugs he allegedly provided to his former boss, Diddy. He had been ready to testify on Tuesday, but testimony from a prosecution summary witness ran long. The court was adjourned early on Wednesday because a juror called out sick. So that's technically still day 26. And inner city press confirmed that as well. They're like, well, today is technically day 27 because they still did things in regards to the case that day. Just it didn't require the jury. So Wednesday court session ended early because of the because one of the 12 regular jurors got sick and had vertigo. I wonder if one of the alternates got sick. I'm assuming that if one of the alternates got sick and they couldn't return or they couldn't come that day, they would be eliminated because you missed the day. Miss a day, miss a lot. I don't know how that works. If you're an attorney, please weigh in below. So they said because that juror had vertigo. And again, you just never know with vertigo whether or not you're going to be ready to come in on Friday. Luckily, it ended up having a holiday the next day. So that gave the juror another day to at least rest up. Vertigo's the worst. There was also no court session yesterday as it was a federal holiday for now. Juneteenth National Independence Day. But for now, I keep saying for now because you see they want to get rid of Pride Month as well now. Not surprised. Okay. The judge has ordered prosecutors and defense attorneys to begin preparations for deliberations, which could start next week. We talked about this with Kirsten as well. He wants the government to prepare a laptop with exhibits and for both sides to confer on potential redactions from the transcript of the testimony jurors want to hear again. We talked about this with Kirsten. For those that have watched that conversation, a lot of this is sounding familiar to you. Okay. Again, for those that didn't, go listen to it, and then you would have a better understanding as to what's happening now. What is happening in the process of the judicial system when it comes to this case? The court recognizes that the parties will likely be unable to meet and confer on such redactions for the entire transcript, the judge wrote. However, the parties should do for the witnesses that they believe the jury will most likely ask for. Okay. Court is now in session, marking day 27 of Combs' trial. So even NBC is saying that this is day 27. So technically, we have a day 26. So you will not see in our playlist a day 26. And that this is why. Just for those that are probably listening back to this, I know some of you listen to this all at once over the weekend. So I appreciate all of you. So the judge said the defense application related to the juror has been denied. The defense application came up earlier this week regarding a man who was juror number 7. Remember, this is a different juror at the time. Some Romanians said the juror was questioned. And this is important because I've heard Sonny say this, Kirsten say this, a case can be lost or won based off of the jury selection. So juror number 6 is gone. The judge gave it a lot of thought, very shaky in regards to whether or not where he lives, is he in New Jersey or is he in the Bronx? Does he have a fiance or does he have a girlfriend? Does he even have a child? But again, Diddy's defense team over the weekend filed another motion, 14 pages, valid points, very valid points, but there's a reason why they did that. It's not necessarily to cause a mistrial right now. It's for later when it comes to appeal. Again, Kirsten explains this better. Be sure to check out that video. But there was another juror that may have spoken to a colleague about the case, and they're not supposed to. That's against the rules. So the judge said the defense application related to a juror has been denied. The defense application came up earlier this week regarding a man who was juror number 7 at the time. Some Romanians said the juror was questioned. In a trial, a juror defense application is when a defendant's lawyer requests to have a juror excused from the jury. So that's interesting. That's interesting. And I love the fact, again, this is why, shout out to NBC News. They've really done a great job with these summaries. This is why I have relied. I've told you, I've checked out some other ones for us just to break it up. They just do a better job of explaining some of these illegal things that are happening. So today, the court will provide defense and prosecution with the proposed jury charge guidelines by the judge to the jury before deliberations. Remember, again, another reason to watch my conversation with Kirsten. She explains what this is and what this will look like. And I asked her, will that be made public? It should. So that would be something interesting. Maybe if I can, maybe whenever this is made available, we can go through them together. Or maybe we'll bring Kirsten on and we can go through them together. Kirsten, I know you watch, girl. Let me know. She's busy too. Judge Aaron, because she's an LA prosecutor, like she's busy with her own cases. Judge Aaron Subramanian said that the proposed charge will have instructions regarding the potential modifications the defense and prosecution may have, and both parties will have the opportunity to ensure nothing is missing. But this is going to be interesting. Brendan Paul wore a blue suit, white shirt, and no tie as he took the witness stand for direct examination by AUSA Christy Slavik. We haven't seen Christy do a direct in a minute, based on what I can recall. This portion of the testimony is expected to last 90 minutes. So it wasn't a long morning for Paul, which should have told us that he wasn't a star witness, that he wasn't going to say anything that would make us go like, oh my gosh. But we'll go through his testimony. Let's go through his testimony because they're starting to get it to here. So let me go over to our friends over at Inner City Press. Let's see if there's anything that happened in the morning because they're there all day. God bless Inner City Press and all the journalists that do this all the time. So before the jury's end, the AO says, Your Honor, may I place a binder of documents on the witness stand? The judge says, yes, all rise. The jurors are entering. The judge says the government may call its next witness. AUSA says, first, Ms. Garagos and I will introduce some exhibits. Combs's attorney says, all under seal except one. Judge says, admitted. AUSA Smizer says, the government calls Brendan Paul. Okay, so there was nothing too business-wise happening. Okay, before we get to Brendan Paul, I want to talk about that article. I haven't found the article, and even journalists have no idea what article the judge was so upset about on Wednesday, because he dug into both the prosecution and the defense. Take a listen to what our friend from CBS News, Derica, what's Derica's last name? I apologize, guys. I will find out. I know that she's been covering this case and we've highlighted her multiple times. Oh, actually, maybe it'll be up on here. Hold on.
Who is the source of the article? That is how the judge started court today and said that.
I just want to say this. Jerrica Duncan. You see, I mixed up D with the J. It's fine. Jerrica Duncan. Let's get into what she reported.
Who is the source of the article? That is how the judge started court today and said that someone violated the order. There are times when the media have to leave because there's sealed information that is discussed with only the prosecution and the defense. And apparently that got out. I do not know which article he is talking about, but he was very upset by whatever information is out there. He said that someone, quote, flagrantly violated the court order, said that there could be criminal and civil contempt charges at an extreme level if it does not stop. He said that he would swiftly conduct an investigation into who was the source. When Agnifilo, the defense attorney, was asked, when did you become aware of the article? Agnifilo said, the government sent it to me. He said that this is the only warning I will give. Next will be a formal inquiry, which could result in the delivery of devices and testimony. Then he addressed that there are questions about juror number 7. As you may know, juror number 6 was excused yesterday, but he said that he will handle at the end of the day some questions about juror number 7. We also learned that the defense said that they only need 2 to 5 days for the witnesses that they plan to call. The judge said then that he could be charging the jury with instructions as early as next week. And then the judge, in a lighter moment, said, let me get some of that Celsius that the kids drink. In other words, getting ready for what could be a really long week next week, if, in fact, the jury is instructed to start deliberating, which could happen next week.
Shout out to Jerrica Duncan. I've loved her reports on Entertainment Tonight. She's a CBS journalist, but she's been reporting on Entertainment Tonight, and we've highlighted some of her reports, so I should know her name by now. I apologize. All right, and also shout out to Mona Abdi, who also has been doing a stellar job in regards to reporting. She works for Extra. And remember, she used to work for ABC News. I also remember seeing her at the airport. Where was I going? I saw her at the airport and I was like, I know that face. So now that I've seen her, she's showing up and I was like, oh, I saw her at the airport. I don't remember where I was going. It's been a long time since I've been in the airport. Well, not really. For work, yes, but to travel for fun. All right, and enough about me. Let's get to what they're saying. Let's get to Brendan Paul, Diddy's former assistant, who a lot of people were speculating was a drug mule. He's now saying on sand, I was not somebody's drug mule. And the drugs that they found on me were his. Now that we've heard multiple assistants testify, I'm not shocked by that. I'm not. Okay. So the government calls their next witness. Da, 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 da. I already lost my way here. Oh, the government calls Brendan Paul. Here's the thing. Before we get, I'm sorry. Based on what I've seen from other reports, Brendan Paul did not seem like a strong witness for the government at all, especially when talking about Jane and whether or not she consensually participated in the freak-offs. I don't feel, there were a couple of witnesses from the prosecution that I felt favored the defense, in my opinion, in my non-legal opinion. AUSA says, do you recognize this person? Tuxedo photo shown. Brendan Paul says, Sean Combs, I worked for him until I was arrested at a Florida airport for possession of cocaine in my personal assistant bag. So he literally quit after that day. I don't blame him. Wouldn't you? AUSA says, why was it there? Paul says, I was sweeping Mr. Combs's room. Something that, when he says sweeping, meaning that he's making sure everything is there. Or maybe he doesn't mean that. I'm assuming that's what he means. How did you come to work for Mr. Combs? Brendan says, through revolt. Ellie Marone. He told me, get in to get out. If you have a girlfriend, break up with her. You'll never see her. Oh my gosh. But again, this is not the first assistant where they've talked about the hours that they worked. AUSA says, did you interview? He says, late October of 2022 at 200 South Mapleton Drive. AUSA says, how were you greeted there? Brendan says, my ID was scanned and I had to sign an NDA, non-disclosure agreement. Frankie Centella and Christina Curran was there. KK. How many times are we going to talk about KK and she's not testifying? She really lucked out. Unless she testifies for the defense, but that would be interesting. AUSA says, did they hire you? Don't be surprised if KK goes to working for Diddy again if he gets out. I don't think so, but you never know. AUSA says, did they hire you? And when I say I don't think so, I mean I don't think she would go back to hire work for him just because all of what you had to do for him has been exposed. AUSA says, did they hire you? He says, yes, I would pack a lot of joints in the garage, marijuana. Okay. Again, remember, this is not a transcript. This is a journalist in there that's allowed to carry, to allow to have social media and report this. AUSA says, when did you meet Mr. Combs? KK came to the garage and told me to come to a listening party in the backyard and take notes. What was KK's role? Chief of staff, helped out with the family. Did KK use Mr. Combs's phone? He says, yes. How many assistants did Mr. Combs have? At first, five, then four, then two. Given my college basketball background, I helped with Mr. Combs's workouts. Oh. Who is this? Jonathan Perez. And this? Butler Frank Rodriguez. And a lot of people have been asking if, what's his name? He used to be the one to carry the umbrella. I can't even think of all the names today, y'all. And a lot of people thought that whether or not Bentley. Fonsworth Bentley. Okay, elephant brain. Fonsworth Bentley. You remember him. A lot of people were wondering whether or not he would testify. I did not think that he was going to testify. His name has only been brought up by social media, not in any of these court documents, not even with these people testifying. Like, was he even really like a butler to Diddy, or was that just for the show of it all? It could have been. AUSA says, what did Mr. Combs' butler do? Stand next to Puff, give him water, chapstick, whatever he needed. Oh. Did you have group chats with KK? Says yes. Turn to the binder and flip through it. They continue. Who is this? Brendan says, Fahim. We called him Fah, F-A-H. What was your salary? Started at $75,000 a year, then $100,000. I got paid biweekly by Combs Enterprises. Where did you live? In an Airbnb in LA and Miami. Oh. Where did KK stay? In LA, an apartment 4 minutes from 200 South Mapleton. In Miami, in Two Star Island. Also, she also had places nearby that I'm sure were being paid by Diddy. Did you accompany Mr. Combs to paid club appearances? He says yes. He would ask for $150,000 and they'd have to sell things for him. What did you do to stay awake? Brennan says prescription Adderall and sometimes cocaine. So it wasn't your cocaine, Brendan? Wow. What was your job? To make sure Mr. Combs was always happy. He say, I don't take no for an answer. He told us to move like a SEAL Team 6. What in the... First of all, if he gets away with this case, he's got some major work violations to face. Just say. Did Mr. Combs fire you? Paul says yes. Oh, he got fired? He says for forgetting his Lululemon fanny pack when we went on a walk.
Lowe's knows how to set off your July 4th with savings. Right now, buy one, get one free on select one coat coverage interior paint via Visa gift card rebate. Plus, get two select 2 or 2.5 quart red, white, and blue annuals for just $10. Hurry, these July 4th deals won't last long. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, excludes Alaska and Hawaii. More terms and restrictions apply. See Lowe's.com/rebates for more details.
Said, I don't want to see your face anymore. Tell KK you're fired. What did you do? Bought a Lululemon fanny pack, get it in, laid low. Oh. Did you ever complain to HR? He says, no, that wasn't a thing. Wow. He says, why not? HR even forgot to pull my federal taxes my first 8 months. You just have to go to Mr. Combs. So he was the HR? Did Mr. Combs use drugs? He says, yes. Ecstasy, cocaine, more. What is in this photo? My hand with ecstasy and 2C, pink cocaine. What did you take? Why did you take the photo? To ask staff what to do with it after I found it. I was told to put it in his bag. Did you buy marijuana for him? He says, yes. From whom? Philip Pines, Puffs Light Sunset Sherbet. Okay. Who were the other drug dealers Mr. Combs used? One Stop, Guido, Baby Girl, and I think it's spelled O-E-I. Who's this? Guido. Funny smile on face and photo. Mm-mm. Is this your chat with Baby Girl? What is happening? Paul says, Jonathan Perez is introducing me to Baby Girl. She asked me, is it for you or Puff? I replied, Puff, but tell anyone it's for me. Oh, Lord. Why? Puff is high profile, so we use aliases. Did Mr. Combs use Cialis? Why are we asking about Cialis right now? Paul says, yes, we put it in his nightstand. Your message to Love Red Phone, what does it mean? I call Puff Love. His red phone was personal. The business phone was yellow. What did he text you? Zans. Sorry for Xanax. How did you pay for drugs? Cash. From the Gucci bag or security, usually Fahim. And again, why are we not talking to Fahim? Okay, in this text, what is flowers? Paul says marijuana. Did you also call it tree? Paul says yes. Here Fahim tells me I'll get paid once Duke comes on shift. Here's the thing, it's making me pay attention to what Kirsten said in our last conversation. There are things that are being asked that seem like, what are they talking about? Why is this important? Why is this relevant? But lawyers, legal experts are saying, well, no, they're asking that. He may not seem like a star witness, but he's confirming the elements that the prosecution wants to confirm. And that is the way it will be relayed to the jury when they get their instructions. Here's the thing. Again, I haven't covered a lot of these lawsuits in criminal cases. I didn't realize that the prosecution and defense can give stipulations in regards to the jury instructions. I had no idea. I thought they were just like a mandated instruction manual when it comes to the law. But that's interesting. Okay. All right. So he says, how do you pay for the drugs? He said, cash, et cetera, et cetera. What's flowers? Blah, blah, blah. Did Mr. Combs have you take drugs? Brandon says, yes, to test his 2C.
Oh, my gosh.
Did you want to take it? He says, I wanted to prove my loyalty. What were Wild King Nights, Mr. Combs and significant others, drugs, sex? Did Jane participate in Wild King Nights? Brandon says, yes. Did Mr. Combs' other girlfriends participate in Wild King Nights? He says, not that I'm aware of. Wait a minute. So remember, this has been speculation. I don't know if we've talked about it, but I've definitely talked about this with other people. It made me wonder, did all the girlfriends or certain girlfriends? Did Kim Porter get involved in any of this? And the fact that he's saying this is after the late Kim Porter, but oh, so Young Miami wasn't doing any of these things? So they asked, did Mr. Combs' other girlfriends participate in Wild King Nights? He says, not that I'm aware of. Who called them Wild King Nights? KK. I just say he's going to hotels. Did Mr. Combs stop using hotels and move them to the residences? Oh, remember I said this the other day, guys? If you've been following my recaps, I said, why was he in all these hotels causing damage and have to pay for them? Did Mr. Combs stop using hotels and move them to the residences? Paul says yes, after the Cassie lawsuit. Oh, that's why. What did you do? Clean up after. What does this say? That Jane's coming in, Brendan is setting it up, Wild King Night, probable. Okay. Where did you make the reservation? Nobu. Where was the Wild King Night? Jane's residence. Remember victim number two? Victim number two. Jane's residence, I wrote, running to the Walmart for them. KK asked, Wild King mode active? ? Or Gucci bag active? What did you say between the two? The fact that this is what they were spending their, like, I'm sure they didn't sign up for this. They signed up to learn something. Yes, get your things for Diddy and fetch coffee and do these things and laundry and blah, blah, blah. They didn't expect to be setting up Wild King Nights. And honestly, that's an HR violation on so many levels, because it's one thing to set things up, but there's so many HR violations. Your employer cannot make you go buy drugs. Just saying. Or clean up. Because what in the OSHA? Clean up. Because remember, they talked about in some of these Wild King Nights, blood was in certain places. So God only knows bodily functions. So you can't make your employees clean up your bodily functions unless you are like a medical official or personnel.
Okay,
but that's a whole other conversation. You didn't come here for that. Or maybe you did. And you're like, well, no, I'm glad you brought that up because I had that thought too. How did you know what to buy from Mr. Combs' Wild King Nights? We had a shared document in the notes app.
My God.
Who was responsible for the Astroglide? The property manager. I didn't think the 200 South Mapleton manager was good. So photo. Brendan says, I took the photo to show the manager how to lay out the Astroglide in her bathroom. How'd you put it in for the cash? Brendan Paul says, Robin at TriStar. Did Mr. Combs, and this is important to note because they're talking, what they're trying to set up, the intermingling of Combs and his businesses. Did Mr. Combs contact you for Wild King Nights? Paul says, yes, by voice notes or FaceTime. So this is just confirming what we saw Philip, one of his former assistants, said in the HBO Max documentary. They actually played the voice notes in the HBO documentary. They said, yes, by voice notes or FaceTime. Brendan says he called me to get a sex outfit, but he never called me back. How did you clean up after? I wore gloves. Why? Sanitary reasons? Is this a photo of the day of your arrest? Yes, March 25th of 2024. Rented jet. This is the same day that his private jet had landed in one of the Caribbean islands. Still don't know why. We still have no idea why it landed there or who landed there. He wasn't there. He was in Miami, Diddy. And apparently he was getting on a rented jet. AUSA says the cocaine you were arrested with, was it Mr. Combs? Mr. Combs' attorney says, objection, justice sustained. Was it yours? They have to change the question. He says, no. What is Mr. Combs? Objection. I don't know if that question made sense. Again, this is not a transcript. Steele says, objection. Judge says, overruled. Paul says, Mr. Combs. I'm guessing it says, was it Mr. Combs? Oh, I get now. I'm learning because they objected because they directly asked Brendan Paul whether it was Mr. Combs's drugs. So they first had to lay the groundwork to say, well, no, I need to ask you first, was it yours? Then I can ask, was it Mr. Combs? Once you confirm that it wasn't yours, I'm going to be in a lawyer by the end of this. I'm kidding. Calm down. I don't want the lawyers to get in their feelings. I'm joking. What did you do after the arrest? Brenda says, a diversion program, drug treatment. Oh, he went to rehab. Because I have to say, when they called him the drug mule, I was like, kind of looks like he might be. Yeah, like it, to me, I was like, oh, I could see it. I'll just say that. But here's the thing. What we've learned is that these assistants were sleep deprived. But also, he was using drugs, too. I mean, he kind of was the drug mule, though, when you think all the assistants were, when you think about it. What did you do after the arrest? He says a diversion program, drug treatment. No further questions, AUSA says. What? No wonder this was quick. The judge says, cross. Brian Steele says, you walked up to play basketball at Syracuse for an iconic coach. He says, yes. You played UNC, but COVID ended it. He says, yes. You weren't just a drug mule, were you? Objection. Judge says, overruled. Brennan says, I was not just that. He says, it was a minor part of what you did. He says, absolutely. Personal use? He says, the judge says, rephrase. Diddy's attorney says, the hotel nights were personal. Objection, AUSA says. Judge says, rephrase. It was Mr. Combs and Jane, relaxation, personal, right from your observation, the Brian Steele says. He says, yes. Did you see Jane as hesitant? Paul says, I did not. A lot of people, you probably are now paying attention to what people are saying about his testimony, that he kind of made Jane look like she isn't a victim. She was more than willing based on his observation. But your observation, you weren't there during the actual acts. Diddy's attorney says, if you saw non-consensual activity, you would not have worked there, right? Objection, AUSA says. Justice sustained. Steele says, you would not work for a criminal, would you? Brendan says, no. Steele says, you care about your reputation? He says, yes. But when you think about it, he's doing drugs. Okay, maybe that doesn't make you a criminal. That makes you an addict. And there is a difference. See, I had to work through that in my mind. Okay, I had to work through it in my mind. I was like, wait, but no. However, what we saw on video of what he did to Cassie was criminal. But okay. He said he cares about his reputation. Steele, Diddy's attorney, says, you were arrested for 27 grams, barely personal use. It was a mistake, right? Brennan says, yes. He says, and the case was dismissed. He says, yes. Yes, it was his case was dismissed in December. Did drugs make Sean more focused? Brendan Paul says, he got extremely creative, which is probably why he kept on doing it. He probably felt like it made him creative. There are some creatives over the years, if you look at the history. I took a psychology of creativity in college. It was like one of my favorite courses. I was a psychology major. It was one of my favorite courses because they talk about stuff like this. And this is why they end up becoming addicted because they feel like they can't function. They can't be creative. They can't create the beautiful things that they were able to create without that said drug. He said he got extremely creative. As you sit here today, are you indebted to Sean Combs? Brennan says, good experiences for the most part. Seal says no further questions. AO says sidebar before redirect. Judge says yes. All right, I got a little sidebar. All right, throw it back. AO says, did you know what was happening in the Wild King Nights? Steel says, objection. See what I said? I was like, he's not in the room. Judge says, rephrase. Were you there? AUSA says, Brendan says, no. It's important for them to note that in front of the jury. And because some of you probably wouldn't have thought that. Some of you probably would have thought, oh, he didn't think Jane was doing this against her will. But then I remind you and I said, was he even in the room? And remember, when Cassie talked about an incident, one of the S workers were there. Diddy took her into the other room and, according to Cassie, hit her. And then she came out and he was sort of like, I mean, she seemed okay, but... And then I think I got who else reported. I can't remember everything. There's a lot of testimony. But he did things behind closed doors if he could. And he wasn't out of his mind. I do believe that Diddy started to get sloppy in the later years. Did you give Mr. Combs $5,000 in cash in another context? Paul says no. You said that you wouldn't work for a criminal, but you bought drugs for Mr. Combs. So they're seeing the other side of this. I'm giving you the other side of yes. Not, I don't think addicts are criminals. Will they do criminal things? Yes. So you said that you wouldn't work for a criminal, but you bought drugs for Mr. Combs. Paul says, yes, more than five times, less than 10. Oh. AUSA says, how do you feel about Mr. Combs? Brendan says, it's complicated. AUSA says, no further questions. According to Steele, Diddy's attorney says, no recross. Yeah, because what else are you going to ask at that particular point? The reason why the AUSA went up there was to respond to what Steele was trying to paint the picture. The judge says, thank you. You may go, Mr. Paul. So he leaves. All right. Let's see. Okay, let's go through the summary and then come back to this if necessary. Okay. And sidebar, I want to ask the live chat. I have got my hands on the Tyler Perry lawsuit. And I want to know if you guys want me to go through it. It's 40 pages. But I'm implored, when I get the legal documents, to go through them, because I think that's necessary. We did a quick video talking about the Tyler Perry of it all. I would like to get my eyes on it, on this lawsuit, and talk about it to see if it's realistic enough. And again, as I've said before, and I will say it if you guys want me to do the video, we have not confirmed that these are actual text messages, real text messages. These are screenshots that could be fabricated. We don't know. But you guys will let me know in the live chat, in the comment section. And if I do it, I'll do it over the weekend. And maybe I will go live. Maybe. It's a long one to go live with, but let me know in the live chat. Maybe we'll do a poll. Let's see what the summary NBC News is giving us. So Paul was hired to work on food and physical conditioning. Paul said that Combs' team seized on his background as a college basketball player, having him work on food and workout planning for the music mogul. Remember, that's what Cassie's husband did for Diddy. He was Diddy's personal trainer. Paul played two seasons at the end of Syracuse Orange bench from 2018 to 2020. Again, hence why they brought up COVID. It ended that. The job would be time-consuming, Paul testified. He said that he was told to get in to get out and forget about any personal life. A long article, but I already got enough from this. Let me see. Oh, wait, hold on. They do explain a little bit more. Official Team 6 doesn't exist, as former Navy SEAL Craig Sawyer. This is interesting. They're saying that SEAL Team 6 actually works so often with the intelligence agency that it's sometimes called the CIA's Praetorian Guard, a partnership that started in Iraq as an outgrowth of the fusion of the special operations forces and intelligence in the hunt for militants there. So the fact that Diddy even knows about this team, or maybe I'm just not aware, ignorant. Did y'all know about a SEAL Team 6? SEALs and Delta Force, both commanded by the then Chief General Stanley, blah, 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 learned to work much like the FBI agents, first attacking a target, killing or capturing the suspects, and then gathering evidence at the scene. And you know what? We used ChatGPT before. Let's use it again because I need to know. I want to have a like a concise, not just an article. What is SEAL Team 6? Let's see what they say. So according to ChatGPT, you know, this is going to be a good juicy live. We're already almost an hour in, y'all. SEAL Team 6, officially known as DEVGRU, Naval Special Warfare Development Group, is one of the United States military most elite and secretive special operation units. So if it's so secret, why does Diddy know about it? So here's a breakdown. What is SEAL Team 6? Full name, again, we just went through that. Nicknamed SEAL Team 6, an unofficial but widely used term. Okay, widely used. Okay, maybe I'm just dumb. Branch, United States Navy. Role, counterterrorism, hostage rescue, special reconnaissance, direct action, and other high-risk covert missions. Parent organization, Joint Special Operations Command, the JSOC. Founded in early 1980s after the failed Iran, hostage rescue mission, Operation Eagle Claw. Founding commander, Richard Marcinko. Headquarters, Dam Neck Annex, Virginia Beach, Virginia. Recruitment drawn from existing SEAL teams. See, I've heard of a SEAL team, but I've never heard of SEAL Team 6. Only the most experienced and skilled operators are selected. Notable mission, the 2011 Operation Neptune Spear, which killed Osama bin Laden. But they, again, you saw what the article said. They won't take credit for it. Difference from regular SEAL teams, which we probably like the Navy SEALs, while all Navy SEALs are elite, SEAL Team 6 is Tier 1, meaning they handle the most sensitive and classified missions. They operate under JSOC alongside Delta Force, which is the Army, 24th STS Air Force, and Intelligence Support Activity, ISA. Why so secretive? Most of their missions are classified, and members typically sign lifetime NDAs. Why does Diddy know about this stuff, though? That's why I want to point out. This is why I'm pointing out. Again, some people might know about this stuff, maybe because he loved to watch Dateline. You remember, we've been covering this case a long time now at this point. He loves to watch Dateline. They often work in civilian clothes, use non-standard weapons, and operate under false identities. Oh, we need a show. What? This was juicy. Okay. What was that show on? It was a Showtime with Claire Danes. I love that show. That was a good show. I can't think of the name, but you guys will remind me in the chat. Let me move on because now this is running long and I'm tired and it's a Friday and I should be out. Ooh, it's Pride. Just saying, why am I in the house?
How you doing?
Combs compared his staff of assistants to SEAL Team 6, demanding they move with no failures, according to Paul. An impulsive Combs fired Paul multiple times, including once for forgetting to bring his boss's Lululemon fanny pack. Chief of Staff Christina Kern told Paul just to keep a low profile and it blow over. She's used to that, according to the witness. He recalled seeing Combs a few days later and he just said, hey, Lord have mercy. You know there's going to be a movie about this, right? I'm not confirming that there is one, but there has to be. With all this information that's come out, hopefully not a 2B one. You know that's going to be ghetto. The witness recalled being asked to buy thousands of dollars worth of drugs. Marijuana, cocaine, pink cocaine, ecstasy, and ketamine were all on his shopping list, Paul said. He recounted meeting up with dealers named Guido, One Stop, Baby Girl, and Ovi. Paul testified that Combs asked him to try drugs and he did it to prove my loyalty. He said, I felt euphoric, but did not feel the full effect. He asked if it was good. He said, I said yes, and then I kept working. I think that was intentional. I don't think he just wanted him to test it. I think it was intentional, either to get him hooked. I do believe, based off of the testimony, that Diddy was not just only manipulative. He knew that using drugs would help him manipulate. Just in my opinion, based on what we've heard from these testimonies. Paul testified that he had a long list of items he needed to pack for Combs on the defendant's hotel nights. He said that he needed to make sure that Combs had his toiletries, lights, candles, incense, condoms, liquor, soup, Astroglide, and a Gucci pouch that contained drugs, the witness said. Paul said that he also had to pack $5,000 of cash for Combs. When Paul was arrested for cocaine possession, the witness said that he refused to tell authorities why he was carrying those drugs. Even though the drugs were not his, Paul said that he didn't give up any names. When the prosecutor Slavik asked why he wasn't initially helpful to law enforcement, Paul said, loyalty. Wow. The cross-examination for Paul has started with Combs' attorney, Brian Steele. Paul was asked directly if he was some sort of drug mule and responded, absolutely not. He said that he did personally handle minuscule amounts of drugs at a time, and he understood those drugs were for Combs' personal use. For just a moment, the witness, Paul, was brought back to some more cheerful days of his life as a walk-on for the vaunted Syracuse Orange basketball team. Under cross-examination by defense lawyer Brian Steele, Paul was asked to confirm that he was an all-ACC academic team member of 2019 to 2020, and that he played 2 minutes in the Orange final game of the 2020, a March 11th victory over North Carolina at the conference tournament in Greensboro. The Orange didn't get to play the next game as the tournament was canceled due to the pandemic. The witness said that Combs' former girlfriend, it makes me wonder if the pandemic didn't happen, would he have ended up working for Diddy? You just never know what life would have been. The witness said that Combs' former girlfriend, Jane, was not forced into spending nights in hotel rooms with the music mogul. Asked by the defense if Jane was ever sorry or not a willing participant, Paul said, absolutely not. The witness also denied that his work amounted to being a part of a criminal enterprise. When the prosecution asked him about his relationship with Diddy, and he said it's complicated, I think that response was important. This is what Kirsten was talking about. There's certain things that are being asked and what is said that should stand out to us. Because when he says it's complicated, it also takes away from a little bit from his credibility in regards to, yes, I still have a loyalty to Mr. Combs. So when he says, oh, I don't think that Jane was being forced into these hotel nights. Again, he wasn't in the room. We don't know. And he says, absolutely not. But your relationship with Combs is complicated. Are you still being loyal to him by saying that Jane was a willing participant? We don't know. I'm playing devil's advocate here. Diddy. Just for argument's sake, again, we have no reason on either side of this. I think it's important to note. Paul had been arrested in March of 2024 at the Miami Opa-locka Executive Airport on charges of possession of suspected cocaine and suspected marijuana candy, according to a police report. His arrest happened on the same day federal agents conducted search warrants at Combs' Miami and Los Angeles residences. Prosecutors later decided to only charge him for possessing cocaine, and the charge was later dropped in December. In his testimony today, Paul said that he was arrested on possession of cocaine as he was on his way to a family vacation and the drugs were found in his go-yard bag. I was sweeping his room and put it in my bag and forgot it while I was packing, he explained. When asked during cross-examination, did he really forget it or was he going to? Because again, he admitted to doing cocaine. And mind you, the only reason why he started doing cocaine was because he was working for Diddy. When asked during cross-examination by Combs' attorney, Brian Steele, it was a mistake, Paul answered, yes. I would have, and again, this could have been asked in court and it's just not including in anyone's summary. I would ask, like, why did you start doing cocaine? Did someone offer you cocaine? I know Diddy offered him, told him to test it. But it makes me wonder if, did one of the other assistants say to him, I know it's hard to stay up. Adderall is not going to always work. Try the cocaine. I wonder. I don't know. Paul's job with Combs landed him in cuffs and now on the witness stand in a high-profile criminal trial. Yet when asked by the prosecution how he felt about Combs, Paul didn't have a quick and definitive response. He says, it's complicated. Paul was allowed to leave the witness stand moments later. Let's see what else happened. Special Agent Joseph Cercilio of Homeland Security Investigation is now on the stand. Let's see, we'll read the summaries of this. So in a text submitted by the prosecution from Ventura to Combs on May 2nd of 2017, the former girlfriend said that she didn't deserve to be beaten up by him. "That's not love, that's possession," Ventura wrote to him in an apparent reference to the infamous 2016 videotaped beating. She told him that as soon as you get effed up, you drag me down the hall by my hair. Despite the brutal beating Combs inflicted on Ventura, the defendant still chastised her for not being grateful to him. In that May 2nd text, 2017, Combs told Ventura that everyone else sees you acting like a bee. "If I did that for another girl, she would have been so nice and happy," Combs wrote, adding that, "Wish I didn't waste my time and energy on her." That same day, Ventura appealed to Combs' chief of staff, Corum, for help. "Sure, you don't want to get involved, but no one deserves to get dragged by their hair." The government entered these text messages into evidence in its ongoing bid to show how Combs allegedly had control of his company and those around him to get whatever he wanted. Before the prosecution's HSI agent took the stand, the defense entered a March 18, 2017 text message from Ventura into evidence. I love our FOs, freak offs, when we both want it," she wrote. The defense has taken every opportunity to show some element of dual consent when it comes to Combs and his girlfriends having sex. Paul's attorney issued a statement after Paul took the stand today saying his testimony was crystal clear. He was never a drug mule for Diddy or anyone else. He was subpoenaed to come to court and tell the truth, which he did word for word. "Now that Brendan has finally had the opportunity to tell the full story about his employment, we are hopeful that the last 15 months of defamatory statements about him will cease," said his attorney, Brian Bieber. No relation to Justin Bieber? Just asking. The defendant checked out of a Ball Harbor resort on December 6th of 2021 with a $6,000 bill for damage, according to records shown in court. He also left the London Hotel West Hollywood, where he stayed January 20th to 23rd of 2023, after doing $3,750 worth of damage, records showed. That damage, mind you, this is before the Cassie lawsuit. That damage included fluid stains on wood floors, linens, and other areas of the room. Combs, under the name Frank Black, returned to the West Hollywood Hotel for an April 23rd to 25th stay in 2023, causing $1,800 of damage, records showed. Room 917, linens and smoking in room. Now people are probably going to go book these rooms. Linens soaked in baby oil on carpet as well, and evidence of smoking in the room, a security incident report said. Combs regularly checked out of the hotels with four digits worth of damage to rooms, early testimony has shown. Crazy to me. Testimony ended early today so that the juror could attend a graduation ceremony. As you may recall, the judge again reminded the panel not to discuss the case with anyone or read anything about it. So if you're a juror and you're watching this video, you're in trouble. The defense hinted that its case could be shorter than anticipated, with its witness list possibly being completed by Wednesday. If the government rests on Monday, as expected, Combs' attorney might be able to present their entire case on Tuesday and Wednesday, defense lawyer Brian Steele told the court. So they could wrap this up by Wednesday, both sides. This could potentially set the stage for closing arguments on Thursday, Judge Aaron Submaranian said. So stay tuned, everyone. Stay tuned for our coverage next week. It seems as if we could be wrapping this up by next week and deliberating on time. Probably before July 4th. We shall see. Oh, no, babe, probably just in time for July 4th. That's good for everyone involved, including us that are covering and reporting on this case. As always, guys, I want to know your thoughts and opinions on everything that we shared with you today. despite, and again, I'm going to roughly edit this. Again, I'm trying to churn these out to you guys and also still be able to get other things done and other stories done. Be sure to let me know if you want to hear me read through the Tyler Perry lawsuit, because I think it's worth reading through. Let me know, and I will spend some time actually doing that. So stay tuned for that. But also, be sure to like this video. It's an easy and free way of supporting not just my channel, but other channels as well. Don't forget, the Campfire After Dark live show is coming to Philadelphia. I literally ran into someone because I saw Hell's Kitchen last night. And I ran into a couple of people that follow the channel. And one person that actually lives here in New York had no idea that I have a New York City show coming up. So I know there are people in Philly that probably don't know I'm coming there July 10th at City Winery. So if you want a night of hot topics where I'll talk about Diddy, it's going to be very fresh under my brain. So we'll definitely be talking about Diddy. We'll be talking about Real Housewives of Atlanta and Miami and whatever is going on. We'll be talking, Tyler, you're on my docket. We'll be talking about Tyler Perry and so much more and so much more. So guys, if you haven't got your tickets, we'll be coming to Philadelphia on July 10th, Atlanta on August 5th, DC on August 22nd, and then back here in New York City on September 12th. Meet and greets are available for all of the shows, and a live stream option is exclusively available for the New York City show. So go get your tickets today. More information on that and my skincare routine and merch for Juneteenth and Pride. It's still Pride. It's still available in the description. Thank you all for watching. Thank you to our Kings Guards. Thank you to our channel members. Become a member today at teamcampfire.com/join. And thank you to our subscribers and those that are still watching in the bushes. At least like the video. I won't know, but it helps the channel. Thank you all for being here. And of course, thanks for watching and for listening.
Thanks for tuning in to Kempire here on the Kempire Radio Network. As always, you can hear Kempire on Apple Podcasts and on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. More information can be found on KempireRadio.com.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today. Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.
Lowe's knows how to set off your July 4th with savings. Right now, buy one, get one free on select one coat coverage interior paint via Visa gift card rebate. Plus, get two select 2 or 2.5 quart red, white, and blue annuals for just $10. Hurry, these July 4th deals won't last long. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, excludes Alaska and Hawaii. More terms and restrictions apply. See Lowe's.com/rebates for more details.